Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Kia ora and hello. I've been asked to tell you about No Labels, the radio show for, by, and about people living with disabilities. The show offers interviews and news about the disability sector in Aotearoa, New Zealand. On Wellington's Access Radio 106.1 FM. Find us on Facebook or go to www.accessradio.org.nz. No Labels, our voice for you on Access Radio.
And welcome to our July edition of No Labels. Today we're going to be talking about some changes that are going to be happening over time in Wellington with our public transport. And today we have Barry. Barry, welcome to the show.
Hello, welcome. Thank you.
Hey, great to have you here. Maybe we could start by, if you would like to tell our listeners a little about you, what you do, etc., who you work for, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners that you think they might be interested in. You know, you're a mad, you know, plan to go to the moon one day or whatever it might be.
Welcome. I'm Barry Fryer, the program director of the current program called Lower North Island Rail Integrated Mobility Program. That program is all about trying to improve passenger rail services across the Lower North Island. We are doubling passenger services between Wellington and Masterton and Wellington and Palmerston North in about 2030. I've been leading this program for officially probably a couple of years now, but ultimately been working on this program, trying to get it funded, etc., for about 9 years. I have been working in the rail industry for just over 25 years in various rolling stock and rail infrastructure roles. So it's pretty exciting to be leading this program.
So it's a fair bit of time working in the space of, you know, so does that mean you have a bit of a thing for trains or something else?
I certainly didn't when I joined the rail industry. Certainly didn't expect to be here 25 years later, but certainly gets in your blood, I think. Certainly the engineering side of things is really fascinating, really multidisciplinary engineering problems with, you know, the hard civils, mechanical aspects of trains, but also software and electronics and electrical things as well. So yeah, it's really diverse. The people in the rail industry are equally pretty motivated and want to ultimately try and make the rail industry better. So yeah, great.
So in that time, have you managed to score any rides up front?
Oh yeah, certainly done a few up front. I have only driven a train simulator, not an actual train, so I haven't been fully in the box seat, as it were. But certainly.
You've been up in the nose of the train,
yeah.
I must admit that trains are a bit of a passion of mine. In fact, I have this lead glass window in my front door that has a steam engine, and you can feel the different textures from the wheels to the gravel on the tracks and the smoke coming out of the stack. So new trains for Wellington and the Lower North Island. So this obviously has been a huge project. You've been involved for quite some time. Have the trains themselves, what was started to look at to what we're going to be receiving, changed much over time, or was the concept to basically, you know, have something that's going to be, I guess, you know, similar to what we have already, but newer and better?
We're still in design stage, I guess. So I don't quite know what the final product will look like yet, but
Right.
certainly we've got the core concepts, etc., agreed. Unlike going to buy a car, you can't just go down to the sales yard and buy a new train. New Zealand has pretty unique features that you need to ultimately get the train bespokely designed for us. So it's a very, very long process. So you start off by kind of describing what you want the train to do and what size the tracks are and the tunnels are and who's going to be using it, etc. Then we went to tender, and we through that process ended up selecting Alstom, who's a global train manufacturer, to design and build and maintain our train. They provided essentially a concept solution that met all of our requirements, which is a battery electric multiple unit, which is going to be the first one in the Southern Hemisphere. Which is pretty exciting. But yeah, then we go through, once we've signed the contract, we go through a design process which takes about 18 months, which we'll go through until sort of first quarter next year, where you work through all of the requirements, getting feedback from communities and stakeholders, as well as working with the design engineers, to ultimately deliver a product that's gonna deliver what we need it to do.
Right. And so you mentioned the train's going to be battery electric. So the existing trains, for people who don't know, that go between Wellington and Masterton or Palmerston North are pulled by diesel engines. So these are going to be fully electric with either using the overhead wires or battery.
Yeah, that's correct. So yeah, we're
Yeah.
going away from that locomotive hauled carriage approach to being a what we call a multiple unit. So it's very similar to the electric multiple units, the Mātengis that we have in
Right.
Wellington, where there is no kind of driving kind of unit at the front. There is distributed power with the bogies and stuff underneath, providing the power with a cab at each end. The concept is that the train will run on overhead power where it exists, so between Wellington and Upper Hutt and Wellington and Waikanae. During that operation, it will be charging up the batteries on board. Then beyond the wire, it'll run purely on batteries all the way through to Masterton and Palmerston North. At Masterton and Palmerston North, for the sort of midday trains, we will have a fast charging facility at those stations where two pantographs can go up and essentially charge the batteries over about 20 minutes, half an
Right.
hour. Then the train can turn around and go back to Wellington on batteries, and then commence powering again on the overhead line.
Wise.
We, I guess, also try to reduce the overall draw from the electricity network. So we're planning on overnight, while the trains are stabled in Masterton and Palmerston North, for the trains to be what we call slow charging. So they're plugged into shore supply and charged more slowly over several hours rather than doing it in that sort of 20-minute, 30-minute window. So we just kind of reduce the amount of current draw that we take from the network.
So, how long are these trains going to be? Because at the moment it's an engine and carriages, and for the trains that are out there existing, but these are going to be similar to the Matangis. But how many carriages will be in each set as they go up and down the lines?
Yeah, so our tender, we were asking for the unit length to be the same or similar length to a four car Matangi or two Matangi units. So essentially that is the overall length of the vehicle, but Alstom have proposed to do that with a five car train. The reason for the five cars rather than four is because the middle cars are a semi-articulated bogie. So essentially a bogie is sharing the ends of two cars. So yeah, it looks a little bit like a B train on a truck, where essentially each car only has one bogie underneath it, and the other end is held up by the other car at the other end. So yeah, we end up reducing the number of bogies, and which ultimately reduces capital cost and maintenance cost.
And capacity, what sort of, how many people are we going to get on one of these trains?
220 seats per five car set. Obviously, we have standing capacity as well, but ultimately, with these longer services, we're not really planning on there being too many standing people. So yeah, 220 seats, as well as including space for bicycles and accessible wheelchair spaces and luggage and all those other kind of things as well.
We're going to come back and talk about the accessibility of the train. But before we do, you've got a song you're going to introduce for us. Maybe you could introduce it and tell us why you've chosen this song.
Yeah, so I've chosen a song called Drive By, and it's played by a band called Train. So I ultimately chose it because I like the song, but also because of the connection to trains.
Okay, let's go.
On the other side of the street, I knew stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you moved to West LA or New York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me. Oh, but that one night was more than just right.
So the accessibility of the train. So it's five cars, and what's the makeup of these cars going to look like for the person who turns up for the first time to get one?
Yeah, great question. So yeah, pretty excited that for those familiar with the Matangi train, they will know that one of the cars has low floor access, which enables you to almost have a step-free access between a platform and that carriage. Whereas the other car in a Matangi has internal steps that you need to step up onto. So for this new train, we have a five car set. The three middle cars are all low floor, so pretty good accessibility. fairly basically the same height as those low floor Matangi cars.
Trains. Right.
The two end cars, unfortunately, because of the equipment we need to store underneath the trains, they are a high floor car,
Right.
which does require a step up into the train.
And so these middle three carriages, will they all have wheelchair accessible seating areas or just one? How will they be configured?
Yeah, so each three of those center cars are being designed with a slightly different purpose, but ultimately trying to create as much multifunctional space as we can. So one of those cars is the accessible car. Within that, we'll have dedicated accessible locations for you to sit. There's two of those spaces with a table and other seats nearby for other able-bodied friends, etc., to be sitting nearby. Also in that car is a fully accessible toilet, also vending machines and water dispensers, etc. So all of that is accessible to those people with those mobility impairments. The other centre car is being designed really for cyclists and other bulky items for, large sucases or prams or things like that can go into that car. So yeah, it does have quite a large space of flip-up seats to enable some of those big items to be stored, but equally provide seating if those items aren't required to be on board. The third center car is more designed for families in mind, with space for families to park their prams. There will be a toilet on board this car as well. Also really good access to group seating, which has essentially similar to what's on the Wairarapa cars at the moment,
Right.
a group of four seats gathered around a central table. We do have that feature on all cars, to be honest, but this IC central car has got a few more of those group seats.
I must admit, I was taken with a group of us went down to Metlink some weeks ago and were. We had a mock-up accessible bathroom, which we all had to find where the door was and talk about the controls. And we had a chair in place of a toilet, so we all could get a sense of how close the basin was going to be to the toilet, etc. So a great opportunity to provide some feedback into the design of that part of the carriage. So you mentioned before that these trains are going to be there's going to be more of them and they're going to be running more regularly. So has it been decided how regular they will run yet?
Yeah, totally. So yeah, we've got a draft timetable. It hasn't fully been finalised, but essentially we are doubling the amount of services
Wow.
across both lines. Currently on the Wairarapa line, we have three peak trains that come down in the morning. Those three and three peak trains that go back in the evening. And during the middle of the day, we have two return services that run Wellington Masterton return. So beyond 2030, we're planning on having six services come down in the morning, so about every half hour.
Wow.
Similar six return at night, so getting similar half hour type frequency, providing a lot more frequency and duration of coverage, so enabling people to go out for dinner or have a drink after work and catch a later train
Train
home
home.
if need be. And we're also increasing the frequency of services in the middle of the day and over the weekends as well. So yeah, moving to three return services during the weekday in the middle of the day and four return services in the weekend. So yeah, quite a huge step up in frequency, ultimately aiming to attract a lot more people into public transport, and avoid the roads. On the Manawatū line, we currently have the Capital Connection just providing the one service down in the morning and the one service back at night. The new service proposal is fairly similar to what we provide on the Wairarapa line today, with two services down in the morning, two back at night, and two return services in the middle of the day, and two return services throughout the weekends as well. So yeah, quite a big step up there
Yeah,
as
that
well.
will be great because I know at the moment, like there's nothing to Palmerston North on the weekends, and with the Masterton service, I think there's one up and one back on a Saturday and Sunday. So huge, huge increase in options for people to get to and from. So
Ali.
we're getting all this new rolling stock, which is going to be great. I can't wait to get a ride on one of them. But what other work has to happen before we even get a train on the tracks? So I'm assuming that there has to be some work that needs to take place as well on the infrastructure.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, this overall it's about a $900 million program that I'm leading. Trains is the main part of that, but there's still a lot of other enabling infrastructure that we need to put in place to make this work. We have just let a contract for a new maintenance facility to be designed and built in Masterton, just near Masterton railway station. So yeah, that's in progress. That's where these new trains will be maintained by Alstom for their full lives, full 35-year contract for maintenance.
Wow.
We also are improving the station facilities, particularly that north of the current Maitland carrier, so Ōtaki, Levin, Shannon and Palmerston North stations are getting a refurbishment and improvements in accessibility, etc. as well. We've also got a driver simulator ordered, so that will enable our trained staff to be able to train and learn how to drive these trains without having to have access to the network. We've also got Kirrail delivering us a number of works as well, larger stabling yards in Masterton and Palmerston North. The charging, fast charging and slow charging facilities I talked about, they are delivering those. They're delivering passing loops, or extensions on the Manawatū line to help the increased frequency of services be intertwined with other freight services, etc., that run on that line. And yeah, there's a few platforms as well that we are raising to better get a better interface between the platform and the train.
Yeah, because I think for those of us who use
Yeah.
trains, I think we've all sort of struck where, sometimes it's a step down or a slight step up because the platforms are at different heights at different stations.
Yeah, totally. So we're fixing the worst ones of those, but it's fair to say we haven't got the money to make all platforms perfect. But Yeah, we are trying to make the worst ones better. So
Right.
yeah, there will still be a requirement for a wheelchair ramp to be used at some platforms. But yeah, where we have got a compliant ramp, sorry, a compliant platform height, basically the train will also have a what Austin call a gap filler, so a little extendable ramp essentially that closes the gap up between the train and the platform and will enable accessible people, so people with mobility requirements to be able to move from platform to train without any assistance at all.
Hey, this sounds all really good. So when are we expecting the first train on tracks?
Yeah, so these trains are being built in India. In India, they do not have the same track gauge and overhead lines that we've got here. So they are only able to do a little bit of testing of the trains in India before they ship them. So the first two trains are scheduled to arrive the early parts of 2027. We're expecting about a year's worth of type testing of those trains in New Zealand just to verify and confirm everything works as expected and that they're safe and ready to go into operation. So yeah, planning that they commence replacing existing trains in sort of mid 2029. With the last of the trains arriving late 2030, when we intend on changing the frequency of service on both of those lines. We've got the whole fleet arrived and accepted.
Sounds really great. I know, like with the Auckland, with the City Rail, there's been quite a bit of discussion in the media about why does it take so long to test trains. But I guess, when other countries, not many countries have the same gauge as we do, and if they're using a different electrification system, then the bulk of the testing has to happen here.
Totally. That's it. You've got to be absolutely certain everything works as expected, to make sure it's safe for everyone to use.
Great. Hey, look, thank you for dropping by today. We really appreciate it. We'll get you back when the trains are about to hit the tracks, well, as in roll on the tracks, as opposed to, and maybe we can might do a mobile walk around a train and get some real life experience with it. Hey, look, thanks for coming in. Now, you've got a song we're going to go out with. What is it and why?
Chosen a song called Wheels by the Foo Fighters. Yeah, ultimately I'm a Foo Fighters fan, and while the song is more about planes than trains, it's still a little bit focused on transport.
Right. Hey, look, let's go out with Foo Fighters, and thank you heaps for coming in.
One, two. What you're thinking? We were going down. I could feel us sinking. Then I came around.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.